Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we discuss our journey with God. But first, let's pray. Gracious God, as we turn to your word for us, may the Spirit of God rest upon us. Help us to be steadfast in our hearing, in our speaking, in our believing, and in our living. Amen. I'm reading today from the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 1 to 14, and I'm reading from the NIV. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they are to eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance." And may God bless his word to us today and always. Whoever God sets free is free indeed. More precisely, Jesus in John chapter 8 verse 36 said, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And part of being free is to live fully for God, so that he may be glorified. In our reading, God's people are in the final phase where God, through Moses, is dealing with Pharaoh and his unwillingness to let the Israelites go. And the story of the Israelites leaving Egypt is a powerful story of their deliverance from the Egyptians, who for 400 years had enslaved them, according to Genesis 15 verse 13. It is interesting to note that in chapter 12 verse 40, we are told that they were there for 430 years. This number has been seen by some to include the time during which they were first guests of Pharaoh. Our text describes a dreadful judgment inflicted by God on the Egyptians, which would be the final straw that would force Pharaoh to allow the Israelites to go into the wilderness with everything they had to worship their God. This would be the opportunity to make good their escape. And the text, together with the rest of their journey to the Promised Land, is considered to be a type, an allegory or word picture of the Christian journey of faith, which begins with God delivering us from the bondage of sin, the old life to which we were enslaved. In anticipation of this final plague, God's judgment, we encounter an interesting set of instructions to God's people for a very special meal that would serve to prepare them for their journey. We see that it begins with the blood. In verse 7, the Israelites were to take some of the blood of a year-old lamb or kid that they had slaughtered and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the doorframes of their houses, in which they would gather to eat the lamb or kid together, which was roasted whole, and none of its bones were to be broken. The blood on the doorposts and lintel was designed to avert evil. In this case, an entity called the Destroyer was sent by Yahweh to slay all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, as well as the firstborn amongst the livestock. The precise nature of the destroyer is not revealed in Exodus. However, Psalm 78 verse 48-49 speaks of this event in the following way. He gave over their cattle to the hail, their livestock to bolts of lightning. He unleashed against them his hot anger, his wrath, indignation and hostility, a band of destroying angels. So, this day the Israelites were to commemorate as a lasting ordinance, which would become known as the Passover. The Passover figures prominently in the New Testament understanding of the death of Jesus Christ. According to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Last Supper, which was to be subsequently commemorated as the Lord's Supper, was a Passover meal. By highlighting Jesus' unbroken bones when he died on the cross, John alluded to the fact that the death of Jesus resembled that of the Passover sacrifice, and that's in John chapter 19, verse 36. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, explicitly connects the Passover with Jesus' death, where he says, "For Christ our Passover lamb," literally our Passover, "has been sacrificed." And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18-19 also refers to the Passover sacrifice in the following way, saying, "For you know that you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world." Thus, we find in Jesus that the atoning work of his blood is the only thing that can put us in a position to be assured of God's mercy and grace, freely bestowed on all who place their trust in Jesus as Savior. Our journey with God begins, then, with the blood of Jesus. And the Passover, which was a sacrament for the people of Israel, is replaced by the sacrament of Holy Communion for God's people under the New Covenant. As we consider some of the details of the Passover feast, we discover two important points for us today. First, we have the idea of new beginnings and a journey. We discover that the Passover feast would mark the beginning of a new year. The old one is left behind and God's people face new beginnings. Also, the Passover marked the commencement of Israel setting out on a journey into the wilderness, leaving the old life in Egypt behind. Symbolically, at the Passover, Israelites dressed in the clothes of travelers to indicate that they were on a journey that would take them into a new beginning. Everything was to be left behind. There was a very strong sense that the old is past and the new is in view. The leaving of Egypt took them on a journey onwards into a new existence with Yahweh as their God, leading and guiding them. This is a fundamental principle of faith in Christ for us today. There is a new beginning that demands of us our full attention, not only to the journey, but first to God, who reveals himself to us. There is a singleness of mind that God's people are called to with regard to how this journey is undertaken, and this idea of being single-minded is carried through in the life of faith, and we find it very well expressed by Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13-14, where he says, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." The second important point is the call to a new identity. In order for the Israelites to take on a new identity, they needed to dissociate from their old identity or the things in their lives that represented Egypt. So it began with a new calendar. And the Passover meal was something completely different from Egyptian life and culture. So we also discover that instead of eating the meat raw or using a cooking pot to boil the meat of the lamb in water, God instructs them to roast it over a fire. Their bread, in verse 8, must be baked without leaven. The result is that because these foods have not been transformed by human culture, as by boiling or fermenting with leaven, they are suitable for sacrificial use. For as prescribed in Leviticus chapter 1 for burnt offerings, the Passover lamb is to be an unblemished male, roasted whole, and the bread is to be free of leaven, which along with honey, another agent for fermentation, is excluded from all cereal offerings. That you can find in Leviticus chapter 2, verse 11. It was therefore understood that the meal had the effect of purifying the Israelites for the life to come under Yahweh's guidance in the wilderness or in the new year. Thus we see that in the biblical Passover tradition, this meal commemorated Israel's departure from Egypt and their escape from the plague on the firstborn. It was and still is for the Jews a memorial meal. The name of the ritual in Hebrew, Pesach, whatever it originally meant, is now understood in reference to the sparing of the Israelite firstborn. It is called Passover because Yahweh passed over the houses of the Israelites. And the meaning of the verb Passover has also been explained in other ways, including to have compassion on, to leave out, and to protect. But now, as the church, this meal has been transformed into the celebration of Holy Communion, replacing the need for Passover celebrations, because Jesus, at the Last Supper, which was a Passover meal, gave it the new meaning we celebrate today as followers of God through Christ. And so to conclude, for us, very spiritual issues remain, raising important questions that we ought to visit from time to time. Firstly, am I walking in this new identity? Secondly, are there things that arise from which I must dissociate myself? And thirdly, are there bridges from the past that I still need to burn? Remember how Paul viewed his life in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4-9? In view of his educational and religious pedigree, as well as his standing as an Israelite, he said this, "I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ." What a statement to make. Are we able to join Paul with those words as well? May God, by his Spirit, be with us as we continue to move forward with him on this journey with singleness of mind. And so may we join all those who with faithfulness and trust also have gained Christ. Amen. Let's pray. God, just as you rescued the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt, setting them free to worship and serve you, so you have also rescued us, setting us free from slavery to sin and selfishness. You invite us into relationship with you and one another. Help us, Lord, to live in ways that move us closer to Jesus and encourages others to know him as their Savior as well. For we ask it in his name. Amen. And God bless you.